Tom Jennings, and this is the 24 Frames Cast, and I am back with another bonus episode. Now, in my job, I often come into contact with politicians, mainly on a local level, but sometimes on a national one as well. And a mixed bunch they truly are. Some, for sure, are passionate, dedicated members of the community, genuinely trying to work for the betterment of them. Some, for want of a better word, are complete tossers who frankly would go to the opening of a letter if they thought it would make them look better. And then there's one who have their eyes on the slightly bigger things, and these are the people who wish to progress, who have ambitions far beyond the streets in which they live, and often the ones who I am most wary of. You see, these politicians very quickly seem to go from principled individuals to rather dull, repetitive automatons in a shockingly short space of time. They simply say anything in order to sound like they have the correct opinions. They make crap jokes that people around them dutifully laugh at. They repeat eye-rolling catchphrases and begin appearing in pictures stood next to people that they think will further help their career. They seem to want to be like Keir Starmer, and it's depressing to watch in every way imaginable. So imagine my delight when I found a film that seemed to perfectly capture this depressing phenomenon, and even better when the film in question was a Western. And the film I'm talking about is Kirk Douglas's 1975 film Posse, and at first glance it appears a fairly generic Western offering. Set sometime after the American Civil War, Marshall Howard Nightingale, played by Douglas, and his well-armed posse pursue wanted outlaw Jack Strawhorn, played by Bruce Dern, across picturesque Western landscapes. It's all rather obvious. Nightingale is the goody, Strawhorn, a decidedly 1970s out-looking outlaw in double denim, think more Dukes of Hazzard than Butch Cassidy, and we assume that the film, correctly, will involve Nightingale capturing Strawhorn and delivering him to the authorities. And yet, the more you pay attention, you begin to notice Posse is a slightly different Western from what you might expect. Nightingale becomes ever so slightly more annoying. People laugh at his poor jokes. He makes sure a camera crew is on hand to capture his every success. His real aim is being elected to Congress, and his treatment of his posse is decidedly transactional. And the more time we spend with Strawhorn, the more we begin to side with him. Posse is very much a revisionist Western, and I think it's worth noting at this point there will be some spoilers for the film ahead, because come the end, the supposed hero is a disgrace, and our outlaw, as he saunters off, perhaps not to our admiration, but does so very much to our blessing. And I can relate to the themes of this film, as outlined in my introduction. It is in Western, yes, but its very theme is about political corruption. We have to take into account the times when it was made as well. Vietnam, Watergate, and the erosion of public trust in the political system, with Richard Nixon being the poster boy of this era. Yet in the age of political content across the various platforms, pretty much the world I live in, Nightingale's obsession with his stage-managed heroic pursuit of Strawhorn seemed more relevant to me than ever. He loves a photo op, promising law and order, better times and patriotism. Yet in reality, it is all a stage-managed show, an act. He is playing the part of a frontier lawman. But the truth of the matter, he is simply trying to build a political career. Posse is like many of the revisionist westerns of its time, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, the outlaw Josie Wells and High Plains Drifter, all in their own way explored the darker side of the frontier myth, especially in the case of Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, in which we see the noble lawman corrupted by ambition and turning his back on his roots. Douglas' film is far more direct in its political critique than those I've just mentioned. It skirts with satire, and the star appeal of Douglas complements this. His persona, that of Spartacus fame, actually serves to further our distance from him. In one scene, his posse asks what they would do after Strawhorn has been captured. It's okay, Nightingale has sorted them crap, poor-paying jobs of the rail world, to which they seem thoroughly unimpressed, with the posse's only Native American Indian noting that the railroad doesn't employ Indians. If you don't hate Nightingale before, you sure do now. And at the film's conclusion, the very people he has pretended to care about turn along with his posse on him. And at the film's conclusion, the very people Nightingale pretends to care about turn along with his posse on him. And it's worth noting that the posse are hardly the most virtuous bunch either. You certainly would not want them anywhere near your daughter. But along with the townspeople, they have seen enough. He has betrayed his men, exploited the goodwill of the townspeople, and exposed the underlying corruption of the political classes. So in Strawhorn Walks 3, the moment seems earned. We want it, not because we like him all that much, but because we don't like Nightingale. And who could? He is a fake. His heroism and sacrifice is performative, and is something that despising politician is thus taking us for a ride. And although the film was made in the 1970s, his message still holds up today. The god-awful posed photo op, the awkward audience interaction in which pauses are left for a clap and a cheer, and the dismal awareness that we see before us, a simple continuation of what has gone before. Kino Luoba's recent Blu-ray of the film is also a delight. It's not a Western that worships the landscapes as some of its peers, but Fred Korenkamp's cinematography is more than done justice with this release, and it's a real beauty sound-wise too, with Maru Jarre's soundtrack along with the film's effects and dialogue crisp and clear. This is, in short, a package that more than just does this to this hitherto unknown film for me. So that's going to be it for this quick episode on Kirk Douglas's Posse. Just as a little primer to, I picked up this film from, I think it was on eBay for 21 quid. So if you live in America, I do believe you can pick it up for about $12. And for me so far, it's definitely one of my kind of first time watches of the year. And as I said, the Blu-ray more than does it just. And it's also, I think, good to support labels like Kino if they are going to be putting these types of films out again on physical media. So many thanks for listening, and I'll be in contact soon. Bye.